Good morning, City Well. It is good to see you all this morning. I am Crystal, pastor here, and today is Transfiguration Sunday. Amen. So we are going to talk about that. Let me start off with our scripture this morning from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. Should be on the board, on the screen as well. Hear these words of the Lord. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. This morning, like many mornings, my son Mark prayed for me. When I have to preach, I have the 8-year-old pray for me. This prayer that I ask and invite you all is a synopsis of an 8-year-old's prayer for his mother. Let us pray. "She is nervous, O Lord. I would be too. It's going to be more than at least 50 people there. Don't let mommy say what the people want to hear, but let her say what is your word, for they need to see your glory. She does it because she loves you, Lord. Let her do what you want her to do. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen, amen and amen. I thought there was no bread of prayer for today. As we wrap up Black History Month, and we haven't talked much about it, I am still intrigued to even know that we live in a country that has to have something like Black History Month, started as Negro Week, and now we get the shortest month of the year to talk about the history or the legacy of African American people in this country. So I'm not really too fond about this concept of Black History Month, but I know what it is trying to do. The truth is that we are in a divided country, and not for the reasons that are apparent right now. I felt it first explicitly with Obama's first election, that there really is at least two Americas. We're telling different stories. We have different histories. It should be a shared history. We should all be Americans, but we definitely have different stories that we're telling. So, for example, was this nation founded and was it discovered, or was it brutally ripped from its native peoples who were already here? We have different histories. Is this a Christian nation with the Bible directly informing our founding documents, or were the so-called founding fathers really theists? They believed in God, but what truly informed our founding documents was their commitment to the Enlightenment thinkers. You have to get all the way to undergraduate, I think my senior year in undergraduate school, taking political theory to really find out about Hobbes and Locke and Montesquieu and Rousseau. Was the bloody Civil War fought over states' rights? Or was it really America's original sin, slavery? Were folks like Malcolm X and the Black Panthers and the Black Liberation Army enemies of the state? Or was the state, has the state, and does the state continue to be an enemy against Black and brown people who seek and fight for liberation? We Americans seem to have a different history, such that if the color of your skin is not white, your loyalty, your patriotism, and even your citizenship, thereby your identity as an American, is always questioned. Just ask Barack Hussein Obama. Why did he need to show his birth certificate? In our text this morning, Israel doesn't seem to have our problem, y'all. They have a shared history that doesn't leave out their mess. They remember their mountaintop experiences. They remember their wilderness. They remember their leader who talked to God, where they encountered the divine. God bless Israel. But Israel also remembers that God had to rebuke them too. In the wilderness for 40 years. Exile, chastise. This shared history informs the gospel writer Matthew. Because Israel knows her sins, Israel is aware of her mess, she also looks for the promise with expectation. So before we can really delve into the text, we enter in the story, if you didn't hear very clearly, 6 days after. I'm always intrigued when a text starts off 6 days after or after this, because then it begs to say what happened before. What happened 6 days before? The question has been asked. Who do people say the Son of Man is? Who do people say the Son of Man is? This is the question Jesus poses to his disciples. And they answer, John the Baptist. They say you're Elijah. Still others say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then the defining question, the one that they had to answer for themselves and we still have to answer for ourselves today. Who do you say I am? Who do you say Jesus is? And that charismatic preacher, as it was, Peter, says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus answers, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Revelation knowledge. This is the part we often forget. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Authority. But it's not all roses. Right after Peter says that and Jesus begins to tell the disciples about what he must endure, the cross, suffering, death, and resurrection, that same Peter says that's a problem for him. He tells Jesus, God forbid it. And Jesus tells Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block. I think, and that's another sermon for another time, how often we, the church, are a stumbling block to Jesus. Here, 6 days later, Peter, James, and John, the inner circle, get to go up to the mountain. What they are about to experience, they couldn't possibly know. Transfiguration, going from one state to another, a complete change of form and appearance, something more beautiful than before, otherworldly, spiritual, a metamorphosis, transformation. Jesus, in a moment, is fully human, but fully divine. There, Jesus stands with the representatives of the law and the prophets. And Peter, always one to talk. I got the answer. It is good for me to be here. Let's stay right here. We don't have to do all of that death and burying and resurrection stuff. We're going to stay right here and worship. I'm going to make you 3 dwelling places. One for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. And you can stay right here. And how God has to often do, God interrupts our human plans. Because we don't get the full picture. Just like on the day of Jesus' baptism, the heavens open and God speaks again. This is my son, the beloved, in whom I'm well pleased. You remember that? But this time with an additive, because obviously you haven't gotten it. Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to him, Peter, about the fact that he has to endure the suffering. Listen to him, church, that you are going to experience adversity. Listen to him and believe that on the rock he has built his church. But although you will experience adversity, the gates of hell shall not prevail, that you have keys to the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be loose, bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Listen to him. This moment of divinity and history mashed up with revelation and a command brought about fear. I've had those experiences too. Sometimes it feels like I have that experience every Sunday I'm supposed to preach. No matter how many times we are, as pastors, as preachers, to come before God's people, I was told by a seasoned preacher that if you don't get nervous to be in the place of the one speaking for God, maybe you're not doing it right. I've had many experiences, and I'm sure you've had, of those moments when you know that the presence of God is near. Sometimes we get overcome with fear. In these moments, we need the touch of the Lord. And I love that we see this very human reaction of Jesus to his friends in need. Just like Peter, James, and John, we know the one who is fully divine, but we need that fully human encouragement, a touch from the Lord. Emmanuel, God is with us, but now God touches us too. Notice that when they look back at Jesus, Moses and Elijah had left. No more dazzling white, no more cloud speaking, just Jesus and his disciples. As they came down the mountain, Jesus said, tell no one, because they're not going to understand, they're not going to get it until I have raised from the dead. But even now, in the aftermath of his resurrection, I wonder if we still don't get it. Peter, James, and John had the luxury of a rich shared history of a people who had encountered the divine on mountaintops before. They had already been told their beloved teacher, master, the son of the living God, would die and be raised from the dead. Whether they believed it or not, they had been told. But what about us? Do we believe what Peter proclaimed about Jesus? Do we believe the revelation and the authority that has been given to us, do we listen to him? And do we even understand the nature of transfiguration? Let me read it again. Going from one state to another, a complete change of form and appearance, something more beautiful than before, otherworldly, spiritual, metamorphosis, transformation. Sounds like a group of people in which he would build the rock, the church. We are divided in this country, and I believe we have turned our back on what is truly a shared history. We choose to believe the lie and not confront the sins of our past. So things get left out of our textbooks. Policies that only support one group of people get forgotten in exchange for pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Forgetting that some people not only don't have boots, but their boots were systematically taken from them. The thing is that in this country, you will hear about separation of church and state. Even me preaching this sermon is way too much for some. The state has decided that it is going to dictate to the church what the church can and cannot say, and the church capitulates to the state. Preachers and pastors and teachers are warned not to be too political, and the power of God gets relegated to dwelling places. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and I guess a little house for Jesus too. But the sky broke open and said, "This is my beloved in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The reason that Moses and Elijah was there was because Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. We don't stay in little dwelling places. We listen to him. Jesus told Peter something about being a rock and building a church. A church is a people, not a place. It is the people, not the place. And the truth is, the gates of hell shall not prevail. No principality, no power, no ruler of darkness of this age, no spiritual host of wickedness and heavenly places shall prevail against this people. You have the keys to the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth, racism and sexism and homophobia and xenophobia, will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, love and peace and comfort and joy, will be loosed in heaven. Listen to him. This is what he said to you. The church is to be a plumb line, the moral compass for the nations, especially this one that we see, God bless America. When is America going to bless God? Too often we find ourselves baptizing the status quo. We are drunk off the blood of the prophets. Just ask Martin and Malcolm. We have forgotten that there is to be transfiguration. Jesus in dazzling white, pure, with the clouds open. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Did we forget about the empty tomb? A touch and a word from a gardener, Mary's witness, I have seen the Lord. Wasn't that transfiguration? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, all in one place, a violent wind, divided tongues like fire, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the ability to do the supernatural. Everyone hears the good news in their native tongue, and the gospel is preached. Transfiguration. But what about Azusa Street in the 1900s? In California, a divided nation, much like we are right now, black people and white people praising God, transfiguration. Black Panthers and the young lords and the young patriots, don't forget, don't mishear me. Black Panthers, young lords, the Hispanic, Latino Liberation Group and the Young Patriots, a white poor liberation group in a racially divided Chicago in the 1960s, fighting for the humanity of all. Transfiguration. Y'all, we came down the mountain and we forgot. But the thing is that when they came down the mountain, they were met by a demon-possessed boy. And they were not able to cast out the demon. They forgot too. We forget. We forget that we are to be the ones casting out the demons, the ones making disciples, the one breaking down barriers, bringing everyone together, black, white, Latino, straight, gay, lesbian, trans. We are the ones. Transfiguration. Going from one state, a complete change of form and appearance, something more beautiful than before, otherworldly, spiritual, a metamorphosis, transformation. This is the legacy that we get from our Lord Jesus Christ. This is who we are, thus saith the Lord. Listen to him. Amen. Amen. Amen.